because time is of the essence. So we're going to get started. I think we'll probably have a few more people coming in, but that's okay. But welcome to this spotlight on Securing Her Future, Proven Approaches to Ensuring Quality Secondary Education for Refugee Girls. If you're not in the right place, you still have to stay, because once you've come in, you got to talk about refugee girls. So, my name is Dean Brooks. I'm the director of the Interagency Network for Education in Emergencies. And I have to ask, how many of you are members? Good. Okay. And those who are not members, ask that person who raised their hand and they'll show you how. But happy to talk to you about that more, because INE actually started in 2000 with UNHCR as one of our founding members. And we're now entering almost 20 years next year, and over 16,000 members today focused on the right to quality education in emergencies. But today, we're going to be talking about a very important topic for many reasons, and we have a really distinguished panel that I want to quickly get to because they have important things to share with you. But to set the stage, just to give you a few statistics, probably many of you know these statistics. If you read the Stepping Up report from UNHCR, it has some very important figures that we should be going back to time and time again. But a couple of key points. So the team, INE's team, did a bit of, you know, homework. And one of the things that we've put together is a very important point, which is the fact that education still only receives 2.6% of overall humanitarian funding. So it's pretty dire even today, even though we have Education Cannot Wait, even though we have the Charlevoix Declaration, we're still seeing a lot of work that needs to be done in funding education in emergencies. As you saw in the Stepping Up report, repeatedly it talked about 7.1 million children, school-age refugee children. And I don't believe that number actually included pre-primary. So that's also even higher than if we look at that. And then out of that number, 3.7 million school-age children are not in school. And those are the numbers that we can capture. You know, it's higher than that. That's just giving us an indication. And then connected to that, half of those numbers are refugee girls. So that's why we're here today to talk about that. We need to also recognize that when we're talking about refugee girls and young women, that it's not just a homogeneous group. There's so many other things that we have to also look at, like nationality, country, culture, socioeconomic status, disability, learning needs, individual family needs and expectations, the unique challenges that young women and girls face by going to school. As we all know, girls and boys face different barriers when it comes to accessing education. For girls, there are many factors surrounding their access and retention in school, which relate to aspects both inside and outside the school. For example, outside school, girls are faced with expectations of early marriage, domestic chores, looking after younger siblings, supporting the family income as well, cultural barriers, discrimination. There's also the lack of female teaching staff in the schools and the role models across the globe. Girls are more at risk in terms of personal safety, the issues of sex and gender-based violence within schools and outside of schools, transactional sex requirements within the schools. These are serious issues that young women have to face. And today we're going to be talking about these and some of the solutions that we need to be looking at. We can't forget the importance of sanitary facilities or safe spaces within schools for young women. Addressing the barriers that girls have when accessing education is a long-standing focus for INEE. As many of you raised your hands, that's a focus for you as well. And I'm very happy to say, thanks to the support of the Canadian government, that INE is actually beginning to scale up its work. We're very excited to embark on supporting the commitments that have been made to the Charlevoix Declaration and working with the support of Global Affairs Canada to scale up that work. We've always had a gender task team, for example, but we've never been able to bolster it up with the support that now we're going to be able to work on. And then, as many of you probably know, that last July, with the support of the UN Girls Education Initiative, which I'm sorry they're not here today, but we've been talking with them at length about this event. They actually helped us to launch and help do the work, really, with CARE as well in our gender task team, worked with the whole gender task team to update INE's guidance note on gender. Used to be called the Pocket Guide to Gender. So that's actually now available, multiple languages, and we're really working on scaling and disseminating that in the 5 working languages of INE. So another exciting development for the network. But now, that's a bit of the stage, a little bit about what INE has been up to and what we're excited to get started on. And so now we actually want to go to our panel of distinguished guests and really give them the floor. You all should have their bios, so I won't go into long descriptions about everybody, but very quickly, just to tell you who's here. So we have Anna here on my right, who is the Senior Policy Analyst at the Global Education Monitoring Report. And then on my list, I have Mr. Vincent Paul Etoga over here. From the Ministry of Education from Cameroon. And then next to him, I have Nayla Fahed from the Lebanese Alternative Learning and also Malala Fund Champion. Excellent. And then Anne-Sophie Lois down here on this side from the UN Head of Office for Plan International. Next to me, Her Excellency Leslie Norton, the Ambassador of Canada to the UN in Geneva. Welcome. And then we also have Hiba Casas, thank you, Chief of Humanitarian Action and Crisis Response for UN Women. So welcome. Thank you very much. They each have a long CV, which you could take a look at. but today we're going to focus on the task at hand. So we have a series of questions, and I'm going to start off, actually, with Anne-Sophie, if that's okay, and actually ask you to work on this question. Emergencies are some of the most challenging contexts on Earth. Sometimes very survival hangs in the balance. So Anne-Sophie, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about why should secondary education, especially for girls and young women, be seen as a priority, when there might be so many more apparently pressing immediate needs.